The question was asked, how are we to view Satan? So, in lieu of that, we had that special class learning the Kiddushin, page Pei Aleph 81. And we're going to continue with the story we were in the middle of, which will lead us into an understanding of how we're supposed to view Satan. So, there was this young girl that had no home. Remember, they had just released her from the pirates, and they were bringing her home. They were en route, and she needed a place to stay. So they came to this pious person, Rav Amram Chasida, and they let her sleep in the attic. And when they came back, so she was in the attic. They took away the ladder, and she walked by the entrance of she walked by the entrance to the attic. What?
The woman was carried up in the attic, or was
she was in the attic. And she radiated, her countenance radiated, and as she walked by the entrance to the attic, so he suddenly saw her face through the entrance to the attic. And Rav Amram then went and took the ladder, which 10 people couldn't carry. It was such a heavy ladder, it took more than 10 people to carry it. And he personally went and lifted it, and he brought it to the entrance to the attic, and he started climbing the ladder. So he's climbing the ladder. And he's obviously been taken with desire. He's about to go and invite her to do something very wrong. And he's halfway up the ladder. And he forces himself to stop. And he has a burning passion. He wants to climb up that ladder. And he has one foot up a rung and another foot down a rung. And he's fighting back and forth. He's like a bridge in the middle. And he sees he's going to lose the battle. Just like he lost until now, right? He brought that ladder. He started climbing. So he was a footstep away from doing what was wrong. And he stands there and he sees he's losing. So he started yelling. He said, there's a fire in Amram's house. There's a fire in Amram's house. So everyone came rushing. In those days, a fire was a real danger. Today, it's also a real danger. But then it was a danger to the whole town. So, so the rabbis, everyone comes in and they see the ladder. And they see him halfway up the ladder. So everyone understood what was going on. They walk in, there's no fire. What do they see? They see the pious one, Rav Amram, halfway up the ladder to the girl. So they said to him, you know, you embarrassed all of us. So Rav Amram said, I would rather I be embarrassed here in front of everyone than you should all be embarrassed of me in the world to come. And then Rav Amram looked at himself and said, you promised me you leave me, you Yetzer Hara, get out. And he calmed down. And he suddenly felt like a different person. And it says that it to those standing there, it looked like a pillar of fire came out of him. What? There was a fire, right? And Rav Amram said to his desire, he said, look at you, you're fire and I'm flesh. And look that I'm stronger than you, I didn't let you win. So that's story number one. So you see, Rav Amram took control of his desire, but he was on his way down, right? Story number two, Rabbi Meir used to make fun of people who fell to their desires. He would make fun of it. Rabbi Meir was a super genius. All our Mishnah is based on his Mishnah. And he'd laugh. He'd say, look at those people. How did desire overcome them? Don't they realize they destroyed their own lives? And one day Satan had it with him. So here we start the stories of Satan. You asked, who is Satan?
So this is the first time where it's mentioned as Satan, or like...
Well, Satan appears in the Torah and in the prophets. In this context.
So it wasn't mentioned
No.
Satan.
No.
Okay.
So one day, Satan decided he's going to teach Rabbi Meir a lesson. And he got dressed up like a woman. And he was on one side of the river, and Rabbi Meir was on the other side of the river. And Rabbi Meir started looking for a ship that would take him across the river to that gorgeous woman. And he couldn't find one. So he found a rope, put a lasso, threw it across the river, caught onto some tree, and he started holding on to that rope, tied it on two sides of the river, climbing across the river, running after that. Now this is the great Rabbi Meir.
I thought you were going to see lasso here first.
No. And he's halfway across the river when Satan leaves. And he says to him, "Listen here, buddy," he says to Rabbi Meir. "In heaven, they always announce, be careful, watch out for Rabbi Meir and his Torah. But you should know, Rabbi Meir, if they wouldn't have made that announcement in heaven, I would have wiped you out. You make fun of the people who sin. Look at you. I could have finished you. I had you. But I didn't, because they say in heaven we should be careful with you and your Torah." So that's story number two. And here we see Satan himself shows up to a rabbi. Story number three. Rabbi Akiva, the disciple of Rabbi Meir. No, Rabbi Meir was his disciple, the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Akiva used to make fun of people who fell to the traps of their desire. And again, one day Satan decided he's going to teach him a lesson. So he made himself look like a very attractive woman on top of a palm tree. So Rabbi Akiva was overtaken with desire, and he started running to the palm tree. And he started climbing the palm tree. And then Satan left him. And he said again, if they wouldn't have decreed in heaven, be careful with Rabbi Akiva and his Torah, I would have wiped you clean. Stop making fun of people who fool. Plimo. There was a rabbi whose name is Plimo. He shows up in a few places in Shas. So Plimo, every day, used to say, "Arrows in your eyes, Satan." Okay? Plimo used to say on a steady basis, "Arrows in your eyes, Satan." So, you know, okay, you guys understand the idea. He's cursing Satan out on a daily basis. One day, Satan decides he's going to take him up to task. So it was the eve of Yom Kippur. Everyone's having their meals. And he showed up, and Satan is all dressed up like a beggar. And he says, "Give me bread, give me bread." He's standing outside Plimo's house. So no one, you know, they come out, they give him bread. And he says, "A day like today, it's the eve of Yom Kippur. Everyone's sitting down for a festive meal. I have to stand out here eating my bread." They brought him inside. They gave him bread. He says, "A day like today, everyone's sitting around the royal table eating a festive meal, preparing for Yom Kippur, and I have to sit in the side." So they brought him to the table. Now he's dressed, and he smells, and everything about him reeks. He was covered with boils, and his boils were filled with pus. So he sat by the table, and he started popping the boils and letting the pus go down on the table. So everyone's trying to have their meal, and he's doing disgusting things at the table. They asked him, "Sit nicely. Don't disgust everyone." And he said, "Give me a drink." So he's being very disrespectful. They give him a drink. And he downs the drink, and then he starts spitting up his phlegm into the drink. He starts blowing his nose and his phlegm, and so they turned at him and they said, "Stop misbehaving." So he says, "Hey, I don't believe it. You embarrassed me." And he drops dead. So remember, this is Satan. He's decided he's going to teach Plimo a lesson. So he drops dead. They try to continue their meal. They're trying to figure out, what are we going to do with this dead man? And suddenly they hear outside, Romans are talking, and the masses, and they hear people saying, Plimo killed someone. Plimo's a murderer. Plimo killed someone. And he hears the Romans talking, Plimo killed someone. So it's the middle of the meal. He has a dead guest, and he runs out of the meal. He runs into the outhouse, into the bathroom. And he's standing there, and he's shivering. He's in hiding. He's not sure what he's supposed to do. The kings of men are coming. They're ready to kill him. And he's hiding in the bathroom. So Plimo's sweating bullets. He thinks he's about to die. So Plimo's out in the bathroom, and he hears as though people are coming after him out there to the bathroom. So he appears to him. So suddenly he sees him, oh, so you're not dead. He says, no, and I'm Satan. And I want to have a word with you. Satan says to him, "Why, Rabbi, why do you always say arrows in your eyes, Satan?" So Plimo says, what do you want me to say? So Satan says, why don't you say, Rabbi, he speaks to him respectfully, why don't you say, may Hashem yell at the Satan. You shouldn't be throwing arrows at me. Hashem gave me a job to do, and may He keep me in check. It says that Rav Chiya Barashi, so that's story number 3, but here we start seeing that Satan is talking to the rabbi and saying to him, look, don't take me on directly, but you could ask Hashem to take me down. What do we say in davening? Yiratzon mifanech Hashem ken shetatzileni me'adamra u'mechavera u'misatana mashchit. So we speak about Satan in our prayer, and we say, Hashem, save me from Satan, right? We do say that in the morning. You know where it is, Ephraim, or you want to see it in the Siddur? You want to see it in the Siddur? Yeah, but not everyone says that part. We should, but it could be people aren't accustomed to it yet.
That's in Russian. You? I don't know the word or issue. I don't know how you have it. What's made by his nature is...
Slowly, we'll get there. We're up to the next story. It says, Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, whenever he'd do tachanun, when he'd put his head down in prayer, he would say, Harachaman yatzilenu miyetzer hara. Hashem should save us from the yetzer hara. So Rav Chiya Bar Ashi was an old man. I'm just going to stick in the story, even though it's not so relevant to us, because it's a worthwhile story. One day his wife hears him saying, Hashem, save us from the yetzer hara. So he was an old man, and she was an old woman. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi. So she says, gee, it's been years since he's been intimate with me. Why does he keep saying, Hashem, save me from the evil inclination? So he was out in the yard one day, learning. And she decided she's going to play a trick on him. So she went and got out the closet, the old, you know, the clothing she used to wear when she was younger, and the jewelry she used to wear when she was younger, and all the different types of makeup she'd put on when she was younger. And she starts walking in front of him, back and forth. So he looks up from his learning. A woman keeps walking in front of him, and back and forth, all the perfume and everything. And he asks her, who are you? So she says, me? I am Churta. Who is Churta? Churta was the woman of ill repute of that town. Everyone knew who Churta was. So it's his own wife. She got all dressed up. He doesn't recognize her. He asks, who are you? She says, I'm Churta. I just got back to town now. So he asks her, can I invite you in? So she says, great idea. They go inside and... Okay, the Gemara goes into a little bit of a different story about exactly where she said to him, if you want me, then I want you to climb that tree and bring me down what's grown at the top of the tree. So he jumps, this old man, he leaps up and gets her what she wants. And then they go off, they do what they do. And then, okay, the game's over. So she gets back into her regular old lady clothing. And she's in the middle, she wants to light the fire to cook something in the oven. And she's about to turn on the oven, and he goes and sits in the oven. So she asks him, "What you're doing?" So he says to her, "This is what happened, and obviously I belong in the fire. This is what I did, this is what happened, that's where I'm headed, you know, I did something terrible today." So she tells him, "Well, I got good news for you. It wasn't Huerta, it was me all along." So he says, "Nah." So she says, "Really? It was me?" And he says, "No." And this goes on back and forth, and until finally she starts telling him, "I'll tell you what happened." And she starts recounting to him some intimate details. And then he realizes that it was her. And he tells her, "But you know what? I didn't know it. I intended to do something that was prohibited." And so for the rest of his life, he fasted. He would barely eat. You know, he'd fast all day and eat at night. He always held himself accountable that he intended to do something wrong. And he spent the rest of his life trying to do tshuva for it. Even though factually he didn't do something wrong, he said, "Look, now before we continue, you might wonder, why are we learning stories about how great rabbis were taken by passion?" So the Aruch HaShulchan in the Laws of Yichud, the Aruch HaShulchan quotes the stories and he says, "Look what's going on here. The rabbis were telling us about how honest a person has to be. Sometimes a person thinks, 'I got a beard, I got payas, I got tzitzis, I've been learning in yeshiva, I know what I'm doing, it's not going to happen to me.'" So the Talmud came and showed us how every person's human. We all have weaknesses, we all have desire, we all have our weak points, we all have the situations where suddenly a person can be overtaken. The intelligent person is careful. The Talmud purposely took the giants of Jewish tradition and showed us how they were able to be overtaken. At the end of the day, even pious people, tells us the story of Rav Amram Chasida. So you have to be careful how you quote this. I was once on a date, and this is what I started telling you earlier. I was on a date, and it was we were dating at Shaarei Tzedek. So at Shaarei Tzedek, there's a certain hour where they close the third floor entrance, and you have to enter from the emergency room on the first floor. There are two entrances. There are two ground levels. There's the parking lot level, and then there's the ground level. So during daylight hours, you enter on the ground level on floor 3. And then it's at some point, like 9, 9:30, I don't remember when, they close that entrance. You have to enter below at the ground level. So I was new to Israel. I'm sitting with the date, and we're sitting on floor 3. And people are walking back and forth, and it's a busy floor. And we're talking. And then at some point, I start noticing no one's walking around. So I asked her, "What's going on? Why don't I see anyone?" So she told me, "They closed the entrance here. There's now the only entrance is down on the emergency room level." So I said to her, "You know, I think it's Yichud then." She said, "What do you mean it's Yichud? We're in a busy hospital." I said, "This floor has a cafeteria. I don't see too much going on here. I mean, I don't see anyone. And it's been a long time since the last time we saw anyone. I understand theoretically the elevator door could open and anyone could come out any second. But the door is closed. No one should be on this floor because there's nothing to do. Everything's closed. Look, we're sitting here already 25 minutes and I don't see anyone. I don't think we should be here." So she says to me, "Are you concerned?" So I said to her, "The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us all these stories about how big people fail. Why shouldn't a person be concerned? Of course a person shouldn't sit around here." She got up and ran. Literally. I said, "What happened?" She said, "If you're concerned, I'm not sitting next to you." I said, "Look, okay, fine. You know, fine. I'm not going to chase after you if you're scared. You know, we should be in a different place." She ran down to the emergency room. That's where we continued the dates. I'm just telling you, you got to be careful how you quote this Gemara. I said, fine. You know, I didn't know what to do. You know, you're not, if you chase after, then the chalal, it sounds bad. So I said, "Should I come or shouldn't I come? Like, what do you?"
So
she said, yeah, we'll continue the date in the emergency room.
Why were you dating in the hospital? Is that a thing that people do?
She chose the place. I wasn't, you know, I was new in the country. I asked her where to sit. She said there. I said there. Fine, I don't know. I'm not sure I would recommend it.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's the greatest atmosphere. But, all right, you're a Kohen. So, but the lesson the Gemara teaches us, the importance of that lesson, that a person shouldn't trust himself. A person shouldn't say, look, I, what's the problem? Nothing can happen. A person should say, look, the giants of Jewish history were careful, and even so, sometimes they fell, and sometimes they almost fell, and a person never knows where life is going to lead him. So, that's introductory. Now, the Gemara continues. The Gemara tells us that it says a story later on about one of the rabbis who used to say that even Satan is rooting for you. And this is a Gemara is rooting for you.
It's a great motivational poster.
What?
It's a great motivational poster.
Why?
Even Satan is rooting for you.
Even Satan is rooting for you, right? Really, Satan says, look, I got to do my job. My job is to attract you to do what's wrong. But if you'll ask me, what do I want you to do? So I'm doing what the Creator told me to do. Obviously, I want you to do what the Creator told you to do. I have to try and lure you. I have to try and attract you. That's my job. But what's your job? So that's just introductory. So now we have to take many steps back and understand what's going on here. But I wanted to begin with all this so we understand the broader picture. So now we'll move on to step two.